Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
She keeps lighting up the way, even on the darkest day. Dawn is breaking, all awaken from the night. From the shore into the waves, washing all the bitterness away, lifting darkness with your stillness and your grace. It's you I like, and you mean everything to me. It's you I like, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. It's alright, yeah. Shine bright, light up the skies above. Shine bright, do it with the ones you love. Shine bright, and never, ever, ever let it die. Shine bright, light up the stars above. Shine bright, and do it in the name of love. Shine bright, and I promise to never let it die. And if they ever make me choose, you know exactly what I'm gonna do. Second guessing, it's you I choose. Yeah, yeah, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. Yes, you are light. Yeah, yeah, shine bright.
Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both dead names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth, bar none, on the face of planet Earth and the web at large. This is your platform for black liberation, edification, and empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled The Apocalypse is On and Popping. And we'd like to thank you, and we'd like all of you who are listening today to support us. Donate, go to the Hiram1555 blog, donate to us, read the articles. We go into a lot of in-depth analysis on the news that is breaking, the news that is going on, and we also link you up to news that is transpiring around the world. Also, go to our sponsor, The Hellblaze, at thehellblaze.com. Black-owned business, black-owned enterprise, all natural products. Go and support black entrepreneurship, black business, and self-independence, okay, economically. But let's get into our show today. The apocalypse is on and popping. Now, you may hear me screech a little bit. You may hear me be a little sluggish from time to time, and I may lose my breath a little bit, brothers and sisters. I didn't want to cancel the show. I have ice packs on my groin area, for those of you who are listening. I've been aching for the last few days. I injured myself in sparring and martial arts, and I even went today for some yoga stretching and trying to get it better in my martial arts class, one of my martial arts classes. So bear with me. We're going to get through this, and we're going to do it in style. Now, for those of you who are listening, who are normal listeners to the Star and Crescent Report, and for those of you who may be new listeners to the Star and Crescent Report, let me share something with you. It does not take a rocket scientist to just look around, even if you just browse the news, or if you just go to your everyday marketplace, or just look in your community to see that there's a devolution in ethics, morality. There's no respect for life or property, right? And what you see in your community, in your city, in your state, and in America at large reflects her foreign policy also. So what we're looking at is a reflection of the whole of America and the whole of the entire sphere of man that is in decline. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. The economic decline just didn't happen by way of chance. The decline happened because there was a decline within the morality and the ethics of these people and their institutions. There has to be a cause for these effects. These things did not happen and does not happen in just voids of nothingness. There must be a precursor to collapse. Do you not see? If you look around in the stores, you see inflation. They may not tell you that this is inflation, but what is that a direct effect of? monetary policy. What is the monetary policy? It's a reflection of the political policy and the domestic and the international policy of the nation. And being that America is the richest, the greatest, and the most influential nation and pillar of the Western or white world, when we see a decline in American power and politics and American ethics and morality and American influence around the world, we're also looking and seeing that being reflected in all of our sister and brother states around the globe. And this is pushing the world towards war and more war, because you see a people, a nation, and a world order that has become desperate, right? Because their influence is abating, and their influence is being rebuffed by rising poles of power, right? Are we not looking at this around the world? I want to show you. Let's go to something real quick while I'm talking on this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this. He says, "The great and terrible day of God has come, and as it is written in the Revelation of John, in the last book in your Bible, who will be able to stand? I say, my friend, there is none that can stand in this time that we are now in, suffering the lashes of nature. All nature has been turned against America to war against her and to destroy her in sight." Stop right there before we even go in. They were talking about the economic cost of all of these snowstorms, all of these floods, all of these rainstorms. And it is not just affecting America. This is a global phenomenon. As a matter of fact, they just did a study saying that the electromagnetic field of the earth is turning inside out and is threatening the existence of man or humanity. This is wrong in their summation. It is not threatening the existence of man per se. It is threatening the existence of a man, a like man, or a mankind, or a kind of man that is not original to earth. All of this is prophecy, brothers and sisters. And because of these global events and phenomena that is taking place in America, you see a great rise in debt just because of those events. Now, when you put that on top of the economic turmoil, the political turmoil, and the constant threat of war, and the movement for war, and the build-up for war, and all of these, remember, these things are not free. This is something that gets left out of the equation when you look at what's going on, when America flexes her muscles, when France and Germany goes in Africa or the Middle East and causes confusion and causes uproar. Sooner or later, you see it in their domestic policy, because this takes finances, and you'll see them suffering at home, but they must do these things to try to maintain their colonies, to try to maintain their positions around the world. I want you to think of this for a minute. They talk about Guyana. I'm just throwing this out there for a minute. I want you to think about the madness of this world. I want you to think about why they're in decline, why the economies are exploding towards an ultimate disaster. Why is the debt exploding, right? Why is there a great political and economic divide in America and in the Western world at large? Look at Guyana. Half a world away, and it's called French Guyana, meaning that it is still under French rule, or French Polynesia. Nations that are in Asia proper, how the hell is this possible? Or the British such and such. Do you understand that this is occupation, and it costs money to continue to expand your empire or to maintain that which you conquer? This is what's going on. All of this is a blowback effect on the empires, on the colonial nations around the world. This is causing them to go through unheard of changes. I'm going to read a definition to you, and you'll understand why this show is called The Apocalypse is On and Popping. Okay? This is Google. I didn't even go to dictionary.com. I didn't even go to the thesaurus or anything. I just wanted to give you a outright, straight definition according to Google, okay? In their word search, the word apocalypse, it is a noun. It's Excuse me, let me drink a little water real quick. It is a noun. And the first definition is this: the complete final destruction of the world, as described in the biblical book of Revelation. Number two, an event involving destruction or damage on an awesome or catastrophic scale. Stop right there. What does Gregory Mannarino, what is his mantra as he talks? What? When this thing go down, it would be a biblical proportions, right? What is Jim Holter and all of these others are talking about? That you'll see things on biblical scales. Death and destruction and wealth destruction on scales unheard of, right? Because they understand. They're understanding that the domestic and the international policies is a direct correlation with the financial or the fiscal policy. And it is threatening, and matter of fact, it has jeopardized the livelihood and the financial standing of not just the American Republic, but the Western world at large. You understand? Let's go back to that. The apocalypse. Look at the first definition. The complete, not partial. You understand? Not partial, not most of, but complete, meaning totality, encompassing all. The complete final. There will be nothing else after that, right? The complete final destruction of the world. What world? Muhammad tells you constantly when he's referring to the world, he said, I'm referring to the world of the white man. Why? Because the world of the black man has not yet come in. So the world that you're looking at that is dying, a natural death, is the world of mankind, a kind of man that was made in the image of the aboriginal man. And his world was made diametrically opposed to the natural order of things. Do you not see that? Do you not see him experimenting on everything and with everything? Right? Trying to come up with better things than nature. And he'll sell it to you. Well, this is better than the natural such and such. This is better than a natural remedy. This is such, and it keeps you sick. And if you notice, the natural medicine is made fun of, right? And then he'll go and he'll go take derivatives of that medicine and add his chemicals in it, and he'll say this works better. And then he'll tell you when you're watching it on the TV, well, this may cause stroke. Side effects may be stroke, cancer, blah, 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 blah. And yet you still buy into his lies, even though his world is collapsing in front of you, brothers and sisters. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this man is under a complete destruction, the complete final destruction of the world as described in the biblical book of Revelation. The second definition, an event involving destruction or damage on an awesome or catastrophic scale. I was listening to Jim Rogers, and I was going to cut up. I was hurting so bad I couldn't really do it, but I was going to cut up the interview that he was giving on one of these shows. He gave an excellent interview. And he was talking about the change of worlds from east to west. I'm from west to east. The change in political clout from west to east. The change of wealth from west to east. The collapse of the dollar, right? The rise of counterpoles like China and Asia. The Asian, A-S-E-A-N, trading bloc. And how these Asian nations will not only be pivotal in the time to come, but they will be dominant. Remember what Elijah Muhammad says? It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. They are about ready to strike, and America knows this to be true. Right? Mr. Rogers was saying as much, and he says, and he was talking about the debt situation is going to destroy the Western world's way of life, the Western world's political clout. It will drive them to the bread wagon, in so many words he was talking about, because of the unheard-of debt. And then I was listening to Mr. Jim Holter. I think that's, yeah, Jim Holter. And he was talking about that we're by that the end of all of this. And all of these guys keep peddling around 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. All of these guys keep talking about a destruction that they see coming in that time. Remember what I continue to tell you, and I'll continue to say this over and over again. The 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period that was given to the Western world or the white world, especially America, right? Well, I should say America specifically, excuse me. That marked from 1955, because we had a 400-year sojourn in America, according to Genesis. And we came here not in 1617 or 1619, but we came here April 1st, 1555. Hence, you have Hiram 1555, because Hiram was killed and brought here in the Western world in 1555. So, you calculate 1555, 1665, 1765, 1855, excuse me, and 1955. And from that point on, you calculate a 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, which puts us at a point of 2015 to 2025. When all hell started breaking loose, you saw the precursors to it in 2008, 2009, 2010, and then all hell broke loose in 2015. And now they're talking about there will be a catastrophic market collapse, where things will lose most, if not all, of their value by the time of, and can be before, 2025. Why is that? Because this is the time allotted for those events to take place. This is what I'm trying to get in your head here. Because some of you don't understand this. Some of you, you hear it, but you don't hear it. But they're telling you these things constantly. And at nauseam, they're saying it, but they're saying it in a sly way. He's going to throw you a curveball. But he's also going to give you enough truth out there, so when you say, I didn't know, or he didn't tell me, he's going to say, I told you. You had access to this. You just was lazy. You just didn't want to understand it because you were in love with my world. You were in love with my government, my politics, my society, my way of, I wouldn't say living, my way of death, because this is a death culture in America. This is a death culture in the Western world. And if you don't believe it, walk on the streets at nighttime. If you don't believe it, leave your doors open at night constantly. If you don't believe it, look at the death trail that they leave wherever they go around the globe. This is a death culture. Right? They don't go in places invited. They go in and they take what they want. They kill the people, and then they label those people terrorists. You in Afghanistan, but the Afghanistan people fighting for independence, and they the terrorists. You in Pakistan, and Pakistan fight, but they the terrorists. You in Syria, but the Syrian government is illegitimate. You in Venezuela trying to overthrow that government, but that's illegitimate. Right? Everything you do is legitimate, even though you're thousands of miles away, spending millions and billions of dollars to destabilize and overthrow governments and people because they yearn to be free from your grasp, and yet that is all justified in your mind, regardless of how many people you kill, at what cost to these people and their livelihoods and their families. This is the mind of a sociopath, a psychotic person. That a narcissist. I am right and there's nobody right beside me. If you don't agree with me, then you're a tyrant. This is the mindset of America. Don't you see it in their politics? Don't you see it in their news media coverage? Right? Everybody that they don't agree with are dictators. Tyrants. Even though, as they tried to do with Muammar Gaddafi, when they called him a dictator and a tyrant, he could walk down the street without bodyguards. He could get out of his car and hug the people without fear of being killed. Can Mr. Trump do that? No, he has to have the Secret Service. Can Macron from France do that? No, he has to have the French service. Can May of Britain do it? No, she has to have the MI5 and the MI6. Angela Merkel? No, she has to have Germany, the Bundestag, the intelligence service, right? But yet, the people who are loved by their people can do it, and they can't, but yet the people who are loved are tyrants. Brothers and sisters, you got to get this mad, this social, this white mentality out of you. Because if you keep it in you, you're going down with them people. and they are the best liars. Their world is falling. Their policies are blowing back. Matter of fact, if you don't believe their policies are blowing back, let me read something to you real quick. This is of the Economic Collapse blog, okay? I'm just reading something. I'm going to keep you up to date with something. I'm going to play a clip right behind this. Then I'm going to try to get some clips in because I know how quick the time goes by when we're talking and when we're discussing these affairs of the world. The headline is this, and this was written April 16th, 2019, by Michael Schneider, who is a fanatic, a Christian fanatic, but even he writes this. It's only April, and U.S. retailers have already closed more stores than they did all of last year. Now, remember, all of last year, they closed more stores than they did the year before that, right? Now, listen what it says. I'm just going to read the excerpt. If the U.S. economy is in good shape, why have retailers already shuttered more stores than they did in all of 2018? Not only that, we are also on pace to absolutely shatter the all-time record for store closures in a single year by more than 50%. Hold up, stop right there. So you mean we're on pace to beat the all-time record, to shatter it, not just beat it, but to shatter the all-time record by more than 50%? He says, yes, internet commerce is growing, but the internet has been around for several decades now. It isn't as if this threat just suddenly materialized. As internet commerce continues to slowly expand, we would expect to see a steady drip of brick-and-mortar stores close. But instead, what we are witnessing is an avalanche. An avalanche. If the U.S. economy really was booming, this wouldn't be happening. But if the U.S. economy was heading into a recession, this is precisely what we would expect to see. Now, stop right there for a minute, because I hear this word recession used a lot, okay? Remember, I was playing years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was playing Peter Schiff, Jim Rogers, and all of these pundits, and they were talking about that America had already gone into recession. Why do they keep using that we're about to go into a recession? Because they don't want to use the big word depression, because that has an even greater negative connotation than recession, and that will also make the people start worrying. Now, I want you to think about this. If there was no food assistance, SNAP, and all of these food programs, do you know some estimate says the bread line would be 5 to 10 times longer today than it was in the 30s? In the time of the so-called Great Depression. So if that was the Great Depression and businesses shuttered, and yet we're on a path to not just beat those bad records, but to shatter them by more than 50%, and more people are becoming homeless, more people are needing 3 and 4 jobs just to survive, what is that telling you about the economy? What is that telling you about the state of the American Republic? What is that telling you about the livelihood of the so-called American nation? Remember, he says, I want you to pay close attention. He says, it isn't as if this threat just suddenly materialized. Remember, I told you that it didn't come out of no vacuum. This was a steadily drip effect from when they started robbing the currency of silver and gold. As internet commerce continues to slowly expand, we would expect to see a steady drip in brick-and-mortar stores close. But instead, what we are witnessing is an avalanche, right? All right? Now, according to the dictionary, the word avalanche means descending rapidly down a mountainside, undergo a rapid increase of conductivity due to the avalanche process. A mass of snow, rocks, etc., falling rapidly down a mountainside. A sudden arrival or occurrence of something in overwhelming quantities. You hear that? So what is this overwhelming, the arrival of something mass in overwhelming quantities? Listen, if retails are closing and we're on pace to shatter the record by more than 50%, this does not bode well for the average Joe. Because without brick and mortar, without retail stores, you have more people out of work. That means more people defaulting on loans, which means more banks go bankrupt. That means less taxable income for the government to prosecute her wars around the world and her military Gestapo healing up within her domestic situation. That means a ever-devolving economic down spiral of the American Republic. You can see it now, huh? This apocalypse is on and popping, right? So I want you to listen closely to this, all right? And I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing, but I just want you to pay close attention to this. It's about 12 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to let the whole clip play, but I want you to hear some of the things. And these are clips I've accumulated for the last few days, and I just want you to hear what they are saying about their own situation, okay? Pay close attention.
And it continues. Retail stores have been closing up shop at a more rapid pace than we have seen in a very long time. It is currently on pace to be worse than the years leading up to the financial crisis. Some have blamed e-commerce. Others blame it on bad companies. Let's look at the details today. You came here for the truth, so let me unveil that for you. This has become one of my favorite topics. We're looking at the store closures that are going on in the United States. When you look at the data, it starts to make a lot of sense. We have a bad economy. We have a lot of stores closing down. However, there are some other curveballs that have been thrown in there, and many people have been pointing to the rise of e-commerce and companies like Amazon taking down a lot of these big chains. There's a big change that has been happening over the years. Many more people out there have been shopping online. They have been choosing other companies to go to. You have mergers and acquisitions that take place. There are always going to be changes. However, what I have noticed is something that cannot be denied, and that is the economy is doing worse as time goes on. I didn't say the stock market, I said the economy. Now, you see people out there, they're buying everything you could imagine. They're lining up for iPhones. They're trying to get the newest, latest gadget, and they are always spending money. However, their debt is at the maximum it has ever been in history. We've seen student loans that have risen to over $1.5 trillion. We're looking at home equity line of credit. We're looking at every form of debt expanding. And of course, this puts a heavy burden on stores that don't provide what some people are looking for. Maybe they're looking for the best deal. Maybe they're looking for the best products. And so these stores start to evaporate. Now, we have 6,000 store closures. And if you have been following this channel for a while, I've been covering it as it's been progressing throughout this year. Previously, it was, I think, 5,600. Before that, I did a video around 5,000. And before that, you can see how it is adding up very quickly. It's not just one store. It's not just one brand. It's not even just retail stores. We can see that it has expanded to every part of the economy, and this really tells us something when it isn't just one factor, when it isn't just, for example, department stores. This is really showing us what's happening. Let's get into it right away. No more ranting. I wanted to begin by taking a look at this. How many times have you seen articles like this? These chains have announced a ton of store closings in 2019. You go through, it shows you Paid Less Shoes, it shows you all the different Shopko and all these different big companies that are shutting their doors, or they're trying to reinvent their business. I think it's too late for that personally, but this is what we have seen many times before, and you always have individuals saying it's e-commerce, it's Amazon. If you want to see many examples of that, go into the comment section of this video. I guarantee you there will be at least 50 comments referring to Amazon and e-commerce as being the cause. You probably think that it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, people are buying more things online today than they ever have before. That is actually true. However, let's look statistically at it. Let's not just think in our head and we can somehow come up with an idea. We actually need statistics to be able to prove our point. The rise of e-commerce in the United States, e-commerce sales as a percentage of total retail sales in the United States, as of the end of 2018, it is 11%, okay? 11% using the Census Bureau data. Now, even if you were to pad that up, maybe it's 12, maybe it's 15%, heck, even let's say 20%. This is really showing us that the bulk of the sales are not coming from e-commerce. In fact, you could see here, looking at this, we are looking at over $5 trillion worth total retail sales in 2018. But if you look at the e-commerce, it's $514 billion. So things are really picking up. As you can see, the trend is clearly there. More people will be using e-commerce every single year. And we see that, by the way, as the year goes on towards the fourth quarter, sales start to pick up and they come down and pick up. But the general trend is that more people are doing e-commerce today, and this really depicts that. However, it's only a percentage of the total, and that's really what I want to stress. So you cannot put all the weight on saying e-commerce is the reason, Amazon is the reason. Although many people do buy things online, there's a lot of people who buy most of the things online. You have to judge it as the entire community, what everybody is doing, not just what a single individual is up to. This is the brand new data showing us offering shoppers new experience isn't helping as malls see a tsunami of store closures and falling traffic. This article out of CNBC, but they're grabbing their research out of CoreSite, and this tells us that there are 6,000 stores that will shut in 2019. Already, these have been announced. Who knows what the remainder of the year is looking like? I mean, we are in the fourth month of the year. Already, we have 6,000 store closures. This is impossible to predict what's going to happen, but the way I look at it is truly going to be mind-blowing when we see the numbers at the end of 2019. All the while, we're being told the economy is fantastic. Now, whenever I do a video like this, 100% of the time, people are constantly harping on the fact that I'm not showing the other side of the equation. Well, guess what? You can read it right here. Opening 2,600 stores. There have been 6,000 announced closures and 2,600 are opening. We have many more stores closing than are opening. That's a sign that things are not looking good. Look at the details for yourself. I can't show every single statistic related to this. I'm trying to do my best to be able to piece this all together. And here you can see the openings versus the closings. This is getting heated out there when you can see that they're trying to adapt, but it's not working. That shows you that something is going on. It's not just about Sears and Payless Shoes closing down, claiming bankruptcy. This is about an economy that is suffering. It's suffering, and you have fewer and fewer businesses that are doing well, and that's generally a sign that the money is sparse. The velocity of money, which has come down more recently in recent years, we have witnessed as many shoppers are looking and they're trying to be smarter about what they purchase. Yes, maybe they're still buying the iPhone, but then they're holding back on other purchases. Their debt is really expanded to the absolute maximum. I don't understand how it can go much further than this, but I'm consistently surprised because it continues to go higher and higher every year, and that is not a good sign when you really look at this. A separate report found that foot traffic dropping off at malls across the country has been going on in recent months. They also found malls with the so-called experiential tenants that aren't focused on just selling products like Apple. You have places like Eataly and Tesla haven't been drawing in extra traffic. So having these particular stores, giving them the experience, different types of things instead of just buying stuff, this isn't bringing the people in. That tells you something's going on right now. It's not just about, look, Sears has been around for too long, it didn't adapt, and now they're failing. This is the data. This is the raw information you need to know about. Widespread closures have roiled the retail industry, but many stores are likely to shut down in the coming years to keep up with a shift to online shopping, according to UBS. They point to online shopping, and of course that is a factor, and as the years go on, it's going to get worse, obviously. However, it's only one piece of the puzzle, but let's take it for what it is. An estimated 75,000 stores that sell clothing, electronics, and furniture will close by 2026 when online shopping is expected to make up 25% of retail sales. Roughly 16% of overall sales are made online. So they're grabbing data from a different place. They say 16, I'm showing you 11. Who knows which is the accurate data? Either way, it's still a smaller percentage of the total than what we are being told. You know, all of this, everything is being bought online today. Well, the truth is that, yes, it's a growing number, but that isn't the full picture. If 75,000 stores close, this would be unprecedented. Even if it's over multi-year span, it's still going to affect people. That's the whole point. Look, I don't necessarily care about one company or another, these multinational conglomerates. This isn't what I worry about. I worry about the average individual who's been working at this job for 22 years and now suddenly doesn't know anything else. That's the only real skill that they have. They've been just working this job and now they're out of business. So what do? Well, maybe they are 50 years old. They can't exactly get out there, get a new skill. It's more difficult. They've got a mortgage. They've got kids in school, this and that. They weren't expecting this to happen. It's hard, okay? This is the type of thing that worries me, not necessarily the corporation, but it's the people. The Banking Workers Union has told the Commonwealth Bank to come clean on whether it plans to axe 10,000 jobs or a fifth of its workforce. The Australian on Friday.
Now, I stopped there 3 minutes early because I want to talk to you about something. You're hearing the job closures, right? So this means mounting unemployment. Is that not right? Now, think about this. Without businesses, the government is limited in taxing. Without jobs, the government is even more limited in its taxation. So it cannot get the revenue that it needs to continue funding all of its expenditures as a viable government. Is that not right? Now, if this is the case, and it's the worst that has ever been, and the things continue to decline, how in the hell does America's GDP continue to grow? I'm asking. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the butter knife either. I'm asking you. Something is not right here. If the debt continues to explode, and businesses continue to shutter, and people continue to be unemployed, homeless, out of work, and all of these other things, and tax receipts continue to dry up, how can the GDP continue to expand, especially when you are borrowing as a government, as a republic? You continue to borrow and project major deficits into the future on future generations to fund your government of today. How is this possible? I'm asking. And if it is not possible, then what kind of situation is the American Republic now finding itself in? Right? I'm not the finance guy, but at least I have common sense, which is not so common today, because people don't look at these things. To show you what I'm talking about, okay? Let's go to something real quick. All right? Remember when I was telling you about the derivative market, right? And I was telling you some people have the derivative debt anywhere from $1 trillion to $5 trillion. Now, I'm going to read part of an article to you, right? And the date of this article is 2012. Now, it's something important about this date here, 2012. And I will explain it shortly, okay? You just bear with me. I'm trying to get you into understanding what is actually taking place, because no leader, no person with a voice is explaining these things to you, is going into depths on these things to show you the blowback effect of this white, militaristic, white privilege policy that has gone around the world, usurping authorities of other nations and colonizing and killing all they survey. But I'm going to go into this. I want you to listen closely to this. The article is titled, "The Coming Derivative Panic That Will Destroy Global Financial Markets." Let me read that again. "The Coming Derivatives Panic That Will Destroy Global Financial Markets." Okay? This was written by the same person I read that other article by, which we'll go back to shortly, Michael Schneider of the Economic Collapse blog. This was written December 4th, 2012. I'm going to bring that date up for shortly, okay? And this is the part of the article. "When the financial markets in the United States crash, so does the U.S. economy. Just remember what happened back in 2008. The financial markets crashed, the credit markets froze up, and suddenly the economy went into cardiac arrest. Well, there are very few things that could cause the financial markets to crash harder or farther investment in anything real. Rather, a derivative is a legal bet on the future value or performance of something else. Just like you can go to Vegas and bet on who will win the football games this weekend. Bankers on Wall Street make trillions of dollars of bets on how interest rates will perform in the future and about what credit instruments are likely to default. Y'all listen close. I know this is a lot, but you got to listen and bear with me. Believe me, I feel the same way. But you got to listen. It says, what did I stop? All right, here. It says, Wall Street has been transformed into a giant casino where people are betting on just about anything you can imagine. This works fine as long as there are not any wild swings in the economy and risk is managed with strict discipline. But as we have seen, there have been times when derivatives have caused massive problems in recent years. For example, do you know why the largest insurance company in the world, AIG, crashed back in 2008 and required a government bailout? It was because of derivatives. Bad derivatives trades also caused the failure of MF Global and the $6 billion loss that JP Morgan Chase recently suffered because of derivatives made headlines all over the globe. But all of those incidents were just warm-up acts for the coming derivatives panic that will destroy global financial markets. You heard that? That will destroy global financial markets. The largest casino in the history of the world is going to go bust. What's the largest casino? Didn't he just tell you it was Wall Street? The largest casino in the history of the world is going to go bust. And the economic fallout from the financial crash that will happen as a result will be absolutely horrific. There is a reason why Warren Buffett once referred to derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction. Nobody really knows the total value of all the derivatives that are floating around out there, but estimates place the notional value of the global derivative market anywhere from $600 trillion all the way up to, listen to this, $1.5 quadrillion. Remember this date. I just stopped short right here. I just wanted to read it up to that. Remember, December 4th, 2012, okay? Why am I saying it? Because at that date, it said that they had estimated that the derivative markets was up to 1.3 quadrillion, $1.4 quadrillion, right? This is what they were saying. All right? Now, in 2010, 2 years before, AOL.com was reporting that the derivative market was $1.2, $1.3 quadrillion. This is the same amount 2 years. How in the hell is this possible? Huh? If the debt continues to creep out of control, how in the hell can you still have $1.2, $1.3 quadrillion in derivatives if the situation continues to worsen? I'm asking you. That's why I told you the date. Be mindful of the dates there. They continue to feed you the same stories over and over again as the debt crisis continues to deteriorate, right? Now, listen, this comes from Moneybags, right, on YouTube. This was done. I'm not going to play it, but I'm going to read to you what it is, okay, so that you'll see what I'm talking about. And also, this also comes from Greenback 001 on YouTube. Now, these dates are significant. Remember, I just read to you, the first one that I read to you was what? From 2015? And then the second one I read for you was 2010, right? Now, 2015 or whatever the day was, and 2010 was telling us that the derivative market was between 1.x amount, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 trillion, quadrillion dollars, right? Now, this is November 6, 2011. The $1.5 quadrillion derivatives crisis is growing. That's in November 6. Now, remember what I read to you on December 4th, 2012. How is it that it's 1.5 quadrillion then, and it's still 1.5 somewhere else? But it's dramatically worse. Listen, the 1.5 quadrillion dollar derivative crisis is growing. If it is growing and the debt crisis continues to be exacerbated by greed and corruption and ineptitude, how can it be maintained at the same number, the numerical value? And the same goes for this. In 2016, now mind you, these are years later too, by Moneybags 73, 1.5 quadrillion dollar derivative bubble will cause financial crisis. How? See what I'm saying? These are regurgitated numbers for you to consume mentally, because they don't want you to know just how bad things have evolved. Listen to me good. I'm just pulling this up. I'm just Googling it to show you and showing you the dates, to show you that these different years, they have the same monetary value. How is that possible when the economic situation continues to worsen? I'm asking. When the debt situation continues to worsen, when the job situation continues to worsen, when the tax situation continues to worsen, right? And when all of these fiscal deficits continue to explode, how can we still be at $1.5 trillion? I'm asking you that. $1.5 quadrillion. Huh? Now, if we look at that and we look at it in the light of how the guy from, I forget what college he was from, I said it on one of the last few shows, he did an estimate of the U.S. debt at the time. I think it was like 7 years ago, 9 years ago. I'm not sure at this moment, but at that time he said the true debt of the U.S. was $222 trillion. He said you take whatever they said, and when you work the numbers, it's over 10 times as much. Now, if we just take his logic from 8, 9 years ago, he said it continues to worsen. Now, we don't even have to do it per year. Let's just do it per this term. If that was 1.5 quadrillion and we do it 10 times, what does that put us at? Anywhere over the stratosphere, upwards to $15 quadrillion. Anywhere. Now, what's significant about this? It's because global estimates of the GDP range from $45 trillion to $64 trillion to $70 trillion. And now they're saying, oh, what's to $80 trillion, which I don't know how in the hell that can happen when the global debt continues to spiral out of control. But we're going to just use $80 trillion just for their sake, okay? Okay? If you have America's debt problem up into the hundreds of trillions of dollars, that alone would wipe out the global GDP, right? So how could America bail herself out, much less how could the world bail themselves out of this debt crisis? I'm asking you this. If the debt problem has been worsened exponentially, right, and the corruption is inherent, how can America help herself, much less how can the world band together and help her if they wanted to? This is what the scripture was talking about when, in the day of thy downfall, none shall help me. Even if they wanted to, they wouldn't have the resources nor the wherewithal to do so. Because the debt burden, the corruption of the system, has gone to the bone and marrow of this world. And it's cancerous and it's killing it from within. The corruption, see, when Muhammad didn't say this by no accident. He said, when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. And these two have been the bulwarks of Western hegemony and white privilege the world over. Right? The term exceptionalism, it didn't come from America. It came from the British Empire. The British are exceptional. national. America just borrowed the term because that is their sister. That's their Babylonian sister. The daughters of Babylon had corrupted the system, had corrupted the world, and what they thought they were doing when they took the world off. See, Nixon thought he was slick, right? He didn't know he was being out-slicked because America had accrued so much debt, but they only had a finite supply of gold and silver. See, they started robbing the gold and silver, the money long before 71, 72, 73. That's why your dimes and your quarters, the silver content was gone after 64. In the year 65, there was no silver content in the dimes and the silver, dimes and the quarters. Now, then they robbed the half dollars of what little silver that they had in the 70s, 1970. And so they was incrementally robbing the value of their currency. But when the world had put them on blast and wanted the gold in exchange for the dollar denominations that they had, Nixon took the world off the gold and silver standard, right? And he put it on the petrol standard. And America said, well, since we now have the petrol dollar, we can expand our empire infinitum, and nobody can match wits with us, and nobody can match us economically, because we can print up any kind of money we want, and we'll spend them into debt, and they'll go into oblivion, because we have the international monetary currency, right? They didn't know that that was a banger's rope around their neck. And now with all of that spending, when they spent the Soviet Union into debt, into collapse, when they spent all of these other nations and sanctioned all these other nations, all of that has a blowback effect. And now that America is, she said, we have 8,000 tons of gold. Man, you don't have squat. And the gold that you had is buried in the hills, and you can't access it. So without having the gold, what the nations are doing, they're forcing America to come clean. They're exposing the empire. The emperor no longer has any clothes on financially. And this is why you see all the turmoil in the markets. This is why you see American Britain at war with everybody and threatening everybody. Anybody that don't go along with their fiscal and political plans is tyrants, right? Or disturbing international peace, right? This is their mantra. This is what they put out there, their jargon, their propaganda they put out there. The Western media are the scribes of the day. They write and promote anything that the government gives to them so that they can make the empire look benign and malevolent and everybody else look ungrateful and arrogant. You know what that is? That's turning the raper into the victim and turning those who have been raped into a violent criminal. That's crazy. But this is what they do. And you take it hook, line, and sinker. You never sit down and analyze these things indefinitely. But you can analyze how many points LeBron James got. You can analyze court TV. You can do all of this madness that has no value whatsoever to the benefit of the black nation or to the nations around the globe. And that's why I'm telling you that the apocalypse is on and popping. And we see it for ourselves right here and right now. If you don't believe that within the American domestic sphere that things are collapsing, even after I've let you hear what they're talking about the closing, remember, when these businesses go up, banks go belly up too, right? Banks go belly up. Branches close. So if you hear them say, well, 10 banks closed down, that's not a good picture of what takes place. How many branches does that bank have? How many employees does each branch employ? And how many outstanding loans and investments they have out there? And then that'll give you a deeper understanding of the picture and the climate economically in America. Let's go to a clip. I want you to just think on that for a minute. Just think on it. And remember that things are only getting worse.
A new American dream has emerged. A gigantic mortgage, a massive pile of credit card debt, a home equity line of credit, and a 3 easy installment plan on a sandwich maker. Life is certainly good, except in those instances when you can't make those payments on your panini press and life is thrown upside down. This tragedy is really not far off from the truth for the average person today. Too much debt, not enough income, poor spending and saving habits, and a central bank that made it all happen. Let's dig into it. You came here for the truth, so let me unveil that for you. Today we're going to talk about debt. We're going to look at what's happening with the middle class inside of the U.S., although this pertains to most countries around the world. It's a growing problem, and unfortunately with central banks and their action, this will only get much worse in the near future as well. So let's begin by taking a look at this article out of Bloomberg, and then I want to show you the charts that are associated with it. Speaking of central banks, newly available net worth data from the Federal Reserve suggests that the left-behind contagion has spread to all Americans aside from the top 10%. That means if you're not part of that top 10%, you are not doing well, and as time goes on, it's only going to get worse. This is something I talk about often, but you hear the majority of people, typically the 7-share of Amazon type investor, who is adamant that everything is fine, but if you just look at the statistics, or you talk to people that are living their daily lives all across the United States or any other place in the world, you tend to have a very large group of people who aren't doing well, and that's the story I'm trying to tell. While still wealthier overall than most other groups, even the upper middle class is feeling the pinch of income stagnation. The growth rate of this group's incomes is lagging behind that of those both lower and higher of the socioeconomic ladder. So it's not just people in the middle class or the lower middle class. We're looking at individuals in the upper middle class that are also being affected by this. As I said, top 10%, if you're not part of that group, you are not doing well. And of course, as I said, time is going to make this even worse. The cost of many products and services the upper middle class buys, from autos to college, is outpacing overall inflation. While having access to credit, these households are increasingly tapping into costlier forms of debt. Now, you're reading this article out of Bloomberg, and the data is coming from the Federal Reserve, but doesn't this sound like all of the things that I have been talking about for years now? People don't want to touch on this, but unfortunately, this is information you need to know. So there are the 5 charts shedding light on the current trends. I'm going to read to you from these charts as well as the data that is positioned here below this, because I think it's really important to understand it, although this is coming from the Federal Reserve and we know that we have to take it with a grain of salt, but this type of data here is generally very accurate. They're also quoting from Adam Data Solutions in here as well. So I think that we should all look at this data, take it in, and add it to our understanding. Over the past decade, household debt composition in aggregate has shifted away from home mortgages, and you might think to yourself, that's pretty good. However, as the main item in the overall debt portfolio, to credit with higher financing costs. That's bad. That's when we know we've got an issue, because when you have a home loan, you're going to be paying it off, let's say, over a 30-year period. And in that 30-year period, you're going to pay, let's say, 4%, 5%. That's really low when you think about it for the borrowing costs. However, if you start to go into credit card debt, 17%. As your credit gets worse, these numbers, of course, will increase. You're looking at all forms, personal line of credit, home equity line of credits. There's different types of debt out there, and each one is obviously going to have its own level of payment that you got to put back on that. You got to think about this. When you buy a house for $1 million, you don't pay $1 million. You have to pay the interest on top of it. And of course, this could be particularly dangerous with other forms of debt because of the amount of interest that sits on top of it. The next one in this list is referring to credit cards. Interest rates recently reached a generational high despite a relatively low prime rate. The spread between the two rates is at the highest point in almost a decade. Many people have realized this the hard way. An analysis of more than 87 million U.S. single-family homes done by Adam found that in 2018, property taxes rose by 4% annually on average. They're already excessively high, in my opinion. they shouldn't even exist. That's a whole different point. However, this is obviously outpacing the fake inflation rate which they've provided for us. And you can see here that when you live in a place that is maybe New York, or you're living in Illinois or somewhere else that has really expensive property taxes, a 4% increase does actually contribute to the amount of income that you have. It's going to take.
I cut it short. That's a 12-minute clip. I don't want to go through the whole clip. I just wanted you to hear some of this stuff. But I also want you to understand what he was saying at the beginning when he was talking about the contagion has spread. He's talking about everywhere. Now, according to the dictionary, and the reason I go into the meaning of words is because so many people who have a pulpit or have a position to talk to the people, they talk over them. And they do this for a specific reason, because they want to have something over you so that they can exploit you. But if you understand the meaning of words, and when people say them to you, you understand the context of what they're saying, neither I nor anyone else can exploit you unless you want to be exploited. You understand? So I'm going to do like my leader and teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'm going to give you the definitions of the words, so that you can understand the depths of what is being said to you, so it can reach right down to the marrow and the bones. All right? So he talked about this contagion spreading everywhere. According to the dictionary, the word contagion is a noun. It means the communication of disease from one person to another by close contact. It can also mean the communication of these diseases from one financial institution to another by close contact. Remember how these nations had fornicated with that great whore, which we'll get into in the Bible in a minute, how they had fornicated, and I keep telling you, they called it venereal disease, an economic venereal disease. So it goes further and it says, a disease spread by close contact, right? The spreading of a harmful idea or practice. What is a harmful idea or practice that has exploited the people, right, and made few rich and many poor? Capitalism. And what is capitalism doing right now? It is dying a death on its own because of greed, ineptitude, corruption, right, and ill-advised policy making. Is that not right? We're witnessing that. So this contagion has spread around the globe. Matter of fact, where's the Bible at? Where's my Bible? Okay, here we go. I got the Bible. Let's go to Isaiah real quick as we're talking on this subject here. Y'all bear with me. I didn't even know I was going in this. Let's go to chapter 33. We're going to read just the first part of chapter 33, then we'll go to this other part talking about this harlot, okay? Chapter 33, Isaiah. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Now, this is America. The nations had given good faith with her to accept her currency as the bar none, number one currency on the globe, and she dealt treacherously. When she got her currency as the international accepted currency, she started using sanctions on nations. She started interfering in the domestic policy. Do you know that America can interfere in these nations' domestic policy just by upping interest rates? Do you know that she can? Look what she did to Hosni Mubarak over in Egypt. You didn't know what she did to have. Now, for so long, they bagged Hosni Mubarak. He was in Egypt. He was one of the presidents of Egypt, the prior president to Sisi, who's in power right now, right? So he wouldn't go along. He was their puppet there. But he made a stand, and he wouldn't go along with some policy that America and Great Britain and France wanted to put on the Middle East and North Africa. I forget what it was, and it'll come to me. And what they did, they spiked interest rates. They shot inflation through the roof in Egypt, where the people couldn't even afford bread. And remember that at the time, Egypt was importing a lot of their wheat products from America in the West. And they put sanctions where Egypt couldn't get it, and the people started rising up to overthrow Hosni Mubarak. You know what I'm saying? Because of this dollar contagion, this is what happens. This is that disease that has infected the entire world. That's That's why they talk about the global economy. They say the global economy will fail. Brothers and sisters, I just want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to show you that this stuff is written in prophecy. This stuff is right in the Bible. This stuff is right in the Holy Quran. This stuff was spoken to you by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not telling you something that he didn't say. I'm just pulling the modern times to show you, to prove to you, without a shadow of a doubt, that it's the truth. I'll come to you in a second, Rashid. Let me go over to Isaiah chapter 47. This is in chapter 47. Listen what it says. This is that harlot. Those who was with that harlot, this is what it says. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit in the on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender or delicate. Stop right there. That's as far as I'm going to go with that part right there, because I want to show you something. For so long, the world migrated to America because what the American dream. You know, they sold this idea of an American dream where you can accomplish what you will. You can do. At the same time, hell, at the time, 22 million Americans, black people, under foot and boot. And yet they propagated this idea that you can be what you want to be. But you had to do it along the lines of the white supremacist mindset of America. If you step out of line, Michael Jackson stepped out of line, they demonized him. Now they called him a pedophile, right? They won't even let him go. Bill Cosby steps out of line. Look what happens. I'm going to show you your favorite nigga ain't got no power when they step on my toe. This is what they do. What I'm trying to show you is that what's happening to America is justified. Prophecy predicted it. And we are witnessing it right here, right now. Rashid, I'm going to bring you in. But I want to stay alone. When you say what you have to say, brothers and sisters who are listening, I want to try to go double back and let you hear something that this guy said about America's debt six, seven years ago, okay? I'm going to try to get to it. I pulled it up on YouTube. I don't have it downloaded, so I might have to put my microphone up to the computer and play it until it get to a certain part. So you'll be hearing the rattling in the back of me moving this ice pack and you know, all this stuff like this. But it's all good because I want you to hear what's going on. So before I do that, let me go to the phone lines with my good brother, Brother Rashid. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum. I can hear you, brother. Go ahead.
Getting back on what you were saying, brother, remember the messenger said that the Bible and Holy Quran are referring to the day. Just think of the white man when he got these books. He put them back thousands of years in the future. Well, Holy Quran, definition, but the Bible, he put it back so long ago that you think of something happened, it happened 2,500 years. No, it's talking about the end of time. The most important time in Scripture when God and the devil go to war over a prey. And when they go to war over a prey, if he do not come and do anything.
That's right. You there? The brother had to call. They muted him. I don't know what they did, but they muted him. I guess they didn't like what he was saying. So when he raises his hand again, I'll bring him back in. But this is what we're trying to show you. That's why I was talking about there's no longer to be called tender or delicate. The nations are now challenging America. They're no longer accepting her dollar like they once did. They're doing trade agreements outside of the dollar. They're doing currency swap agreements outside of the dollar. This is what I'm telling you. She's no more called tender or delicate. When nations are now shunning her and no longer want her a part of their region, no longer want her next to their territorial waters or their borders. The nations are rising up. This is what's going on. This is the apocalypse that they were talking about. But I want you to, I'm going to go to YouTube real quick, and I'm going to have to take my microphone off and hold it up to this computer. I want you to hear what he's saying about the debt. I'm hoping it's in the first few minutes because this is a long clip, and I'm not going to, if it's not in the first 4 or 5 minutes, I'm just going to cut it short. But this is the clip that I was telling you about when the guy from the college was talking about America's debt situation, okay? But I want you to pay close attention to this. Here he comes in just a second. You know, YouTube has to have ads on, so you got, excuse me, one second. I'm going to forward it. 3, 2, 1. All right, here, listen.
Economics professor at Boston University. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, and great to be in Russia.
So you're the one who states that America is broke and is even in a worse state than Greece and Ireland. How so? What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, we economists look at all the bills the government has to pay, and in the U.S. case, we have enormous bills that have been kept off the books that are not official debts, but they're very real. For example, paying me my Social Security benefits, my old age pension, that's a real obligation. It's not part of official government debt, but it's, you know, very important because there are 78 million baby boomers who are going to get these Social Security payments and, in addition, medical payments from the government. If you look at all those payments, they're about $3 trillion a year. So we have these huge bills. Nobody has thought about paying for them. And Congress and the president, over the years, have just focused on official debt and basically have not told the public about these big bills.
You said the amount of the fiscal gap in the United States is, in your estimation, $222 trillion. Is this right?
$222 trillion. If you
right.
Take...
This is like an astonishing number, which is like three times the world GDP. This is more than what the world makes.
20 times higher than the official debt in the hands of the public, which is $11 trillion. So if you add all these spending obligations into the distant future and you compare them with all the taxes, and you include in the spending all the interest payments and principal payments on the debt, on the official debt, you have $222 trillion in present value. Now, this is 12% of GDP on an ongoing basis. In other words, we need to get 12% more of GDP, either in tax increases or spending cuts, in order to have the fiscal gap be zero.
Now, did you hear that part? I just want you all to listen. He talked about the tax receipts, right, and spending cuts. Well, do you know that Trump has spent more money, and he was claiming that he was going to stop spending like Obama, right? Do you know that the tax receipts are drying up? So what if at the time he spoke this, the debt was $11 trillion publicly, and he did an estimation. And that was, he said, what was it, $222 trillion? Well, what does that say to you? 11, 12 times that. So now, if we do that today, right, 11, 12 times, or you can even go up to 15 times because the tax receipts are lower and the spending is higher, right, and there's no spending cuts, what does that put you? That puts you in the realm of a quadrillion or more dollars. Or close to it, right? I don't have a calculator, and I'm not trying to do the math, but I'm just saying at this moment. Now, mind you, listen to me good. Mind you, while all of this is taking place, he talked about all of these off-book funding, right? Remember I had Rob Kirby clips on the show one time, and he was talking about how the what they call the Plunge Protection Team has trillions of dollars and off-book money, right? Now, I want you to think about how this is and show you how corrupt the system is and why it's dying. If you were to withhold taxes off-book and only report a certain kind of tax on-book, but you kept a great majority off-book, if you made $10 million and you reported to the government, right, that you only made $600,000. Do you believe that you would be walking free, especially being a black person? They would get you for fraud, right? And you would be put in jail. Why is it that the government gets to do this and they don't put anyone in jail? See? Yeah, old brothers and sisters, I'm just going forward with you just to show you that America's in trouble. She's in deep, 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 deep trouble. And she can't, matter of fact, Her industrial production is down. Everything that she's doing, as a matter of fact, I'm going to play a clip talking about her industrial production. Remember, if the manufacturing is down, if businesses are shuttering, if she continues to have trade deficits and trade gaps and spending deficits with the government, right? How can her GDP grow? How can she downsize the debt when she has no access to real money, to real tangible collateral to pay down her debt? I'm asking you, pay attention.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Gregory Manarino. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. Here is where we are today. So buckle up. As I am doing this video blog, stocks are higher. Not by any grand amount, but they are higher nonetheless, which is shocking. Well, maybe not shocking. This environment is so twisted, and I want to put a perspective on that for you. We just found out that U.S., United States, industrial production has now fallen for four consecutive months. Stocks are higher on that news. Why on earth would that happen? Well, first of all, we know the market is fake, completely disconnected from reality. But what this really tells us is, yeah, this is why President Trump has now called for a second time how he wants more quantitative easing. His words, the Fed should start pumping more money into the economy. Again, it's the fakery in our face. It's the lies in our face. But again, you're supposed to believe it's true. Don't worry, industrial production is down for 4 months in a row. But everything is, this is as good as it gets. Our economy is booming. Meanwhile, money velocity is in the toilet, near historic lows, and the president is calling for more quantitative easing. You've got to be kidding me. You really do. But this is it. This is where we are. Who knows where stocks will end up today? In a real market, in any shape or form, this market would be down hundreds of points on this news. But no, we're higher right now. Wow. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the market miraculously go higher by the end of the day. And maybe higher tomorrow, too. Look, I'm just kind of making this stuff up here. But this is what it seems. Every single time we get around a bad economic news, the market gets gleeful in a way. It's like, oh, okay, that means the Fed is going to keep pumping the money into the market just like our president is saying. But no, 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 don't forget, this is part of a bigger plan because the president wants to bring down the Fed. This is how he's doing it, by making the Federal Reserve stronger. You see, these imbeciles, understand, that's what they are, they're imbeciles. They don't understand how it works. By the Federal Reserve being able to issue its product, which is debt, it's the only thing they issue, they get stronger and stronger and stronger. They don't get weaker. But the retards think they're getting weaker. You can't make this stuff up. These are the mentally deranged, the dumbed down to the nth degree. But that's how this is what goes on. When you're squashed into a box, it squashes your brain. You understand? And you get microcephaly. You know what that is? It squashes your skull. So these are pinheads that they've turned into freaking pinheads who think that this is some kind of a grand scheme. No, this is a scheme to bring the Fed to the top of the pyramid. That's all it is. But no, 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 that's not what's going on here. As they walk around through time and space, I don't even know who I am, what I am. My name. Duh. Oh. It's the truth. You can't make this shit up if you tried. But that's where we are.
You can't make it up if you tried. I'm telling you. With all of this production down, manufacturing down, debt up, deficits up, right? Business closed, tax receipts low, all of this stuff. Yet the economy is booming. As a matter of fact, let's go back to that first article that I was reading to you all, okay? Let's see, where's the one about the retailers closed. So we're going to continue on because there's something in that article I want to read to you. It says, last year, U.S. retailers closed 5,864 stores. That was a rather depressing number. But here we are in April 2019, and we have already surpassed that. The following comes from CNN. This year, U.S. retailers have announced that 5,994 stores were closed. That number already exceeds last year's total of 5,864 closure announcements. Now, mind you, it's a lot more that they haven't announced, according to a recent report from CoreSite Research. At this time, last year, there was a lot of optimism for the retail industry. Foot traffic at our shopping centers rose steadily throughout the early portion of the year before peaking in August, but then something changed. And since that time, there has been a clear downward trend. Foot traffic at some of the best shopping centers across the country peaked around August 2018 and has since started to fall. After rebounding for much of last year, according to a new report from data analytics firm Thasos, or whatever it's called, which uses more than 100 million mobile phones to track when consumers enter and leave certain trade areas, once again, you can't blame this on internet commerce. Foot traffic was rising for quite a while, but now what we are seeing is perfectly consistent with an economic slowdown. Sadly, this could be just the beginning. In fact, one expert quoted by CNBC expects total store closures in the U.S. to hit 12,000 by the end of 2019. I expect store closures to accelerate in 2019, hitting some 12,000 by year end, Deborah Weinstein, founder and CEO of CoreSite, said. If that happens, we will shatter the old yearly record by about 4,000. We are in the early innings of America's retail apocalypse, and it is going to get much worse. This is what they are calling it, a retail apocalypse, an economic collapse. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just telling you that prophecy had already spoke of it, and what we're looking at is the confirmation of prophecy through world events. We're looking at these events. What you're looking at is the mighty Babylon the Great, in her stages as she falls, and she will never, ever rise up to threaten you or the nations of the earth again, never. See, this is going to be a complete fall. Remember all those definitions I gave you when it was talking about a complete, a total? They are not going to allow America to rebound. Well, after the collapse, we can rebound and rebuild and do. No, you won't be able to. This is the end of the American Republic. I know some of you have been sold on America being this great nation and can rebound and do this. But if she is able to do so, then that makes God a liar and God weak. And that's not going to happen. So what you should do, listen to me good, what you should do is start focusing for the worst events that are going to take place. In this fall, people will go hungry. There will be violence on a scale you have not witnessed before. You know how you look on TV and you say, oh, look at the violence that's going on in Africa. Look at the violence that's going on in the Middle East. You know that violence there? You know why that violence is going on? Because it was caused by policies of the West. And as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. And so, go back up. Is going to be doing the deed unto America. She will suffer unlike anything before. That's why I keep on reading that part that Elijah Muhammad said when he said this right here. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. And everybody will want to divide the government up in pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government pattern after his own way of thinking. Desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the America has got